Thank you very much, Brad, and good morning, everyone. We are coming to you from the Mountain Home Plaza 2000, and we're ready to go to the stage with David Butts.
Good morning, Mountain Home. How are you doing? We want to welcome everybody here for Memorial Day. Before we get started on this, I'd like to make a little extra welcome. We're very fortunate to have veterans organizations here at Mountain Home that take part with Memorial Day and Veterans Day every year, regardless of almost the weather. But right now, I want to recognize the fire department, the police department, that helped organize the biannual event of Memorial Day and Veterans Day. We can always count on Tom Technik, the band director for Mountain Home High School, and the band is going to provide patriotic music for us. We could not have our ceremonies without Allie White, the American Legion Post 52, and the Honor Guard. This year, our speaker is Lieutenant Colonel Mary Walker, retired from the Army. She arranged a donation for cupcakes this year and cookies from Harp Store and Town & Country. Walmart was also provided water for the your refreshment over at the VFW post after Memorial Day, which will be followed by a special honor of the 9/11. A special thanks to Tommy Felicia, our liaison from the fire department. He helped us to organize and coordinate the event. And there is a cooling station across the street. Now, if anybody needs water or anything like that, you can go across the street and get water, or if you need to go cool off a little bit. So, lineup of organizations is our Mountain Home Band. I would like to start with two announcements. First one, after Memorial Day celebration, we will have the fire department and police department for Baxter County to dedicate the 9/11 memorial. Second, there will be coffee and cupcakes, as I said, at the VFW post. It's directly down on 7th Street, and I hope it's enough for everybody. I want to introduce to you the American Legion Post Commander, Lisa Gunter.
Thank you, David, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming out today to show your patriotism and gratitude for the sacrifices made by all veterans throughout the years. Without their blood, sweat, and tears over the past 200 plus years, we could not stand here today as free citizens with the right to assemble in their honor. And their sacrifices continue even as we stand here today. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by the rendition of the national anthem by the high school band. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. morning. I'm Pastor Kevin McReynolds from Redeemer Lutheran Church, and I'd like to thank Dan Hall for inviting me to share with you an invocation and a blessing that we ask from our Lord this morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this day we pause to remember the sacrifices made for freedom throughout these past centuries. Indeed, we owe a debt of gratitude to those who have paid dearly for the liberty we enjoy. Hear our thanks for those who have served in our armed forces and for the families that have supported them, loved them, missed them in their absence, or rejoiced at their return. Help us to never forget the sacrifices they have made in defense of freedom and for this land that we love. Heavenly Father, hear also our thanks for those who serve in law enforcement, those who serve as firefighters, ambulance workers, and for all first responders. Continue to use them to care for your people, to bring healing, comfort, and safekeeping. Lord, remind us that good government, peace, and freedom are gifts that are bestowed by your fatherly hand, and that you desire that we would enjoy these gifts freely according to your will. Thwart all those who would interfere with peace, who work against your will, and halt the actions of the ungodly. Send your holy angel to protect us and keep us from the power of the evil one. Bless our community, nation, and world with a proper fear and reverence of you and trust in your enduring love for us. Finally, O Lord, help us to know you aright, to see that all your servants that we honor today reflect the truest service and sacrifice first shown by your Son, Jesus Christ, who by his death has redeemed us from a sin-filled world and by his resurrection from the dead now shows us the way of eternal life. We pray all of this to you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now we got a little bit out of sequence here, so let me go ahead and get the flags out. With the color guards, post their colors as I call out their organization's names. Mountain Home, NJROTC, unit number 49932. Post colors. And while flag is in motion, please salute or place hand over heart. American Legion Auxiliary Commanding Deborah Beretta. American Legion, Post 52. Post colors. Jerry, please go that way. American Legion Auxiliary, Unit 52. Post colors. Captain Nathan Watkins, Chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution, Commander April Bailey, post colors. Disabled American Veterans, Chapter 30, Commander Dan Hall, post colors. Disabled American Veterans Unit, Auxiliary Unit 30, Commander Jennifer Batzel, post colors. Fleet Reserve Association Branch 251, President David Butts, post colors. Fleet Reserve Association Auxiliary, President Kathy Mason, post colors. United States Submarine Veterans, Twin Lakes Base, Commanding Officer Curtis Grant, post colors. Veterans of Foreign Wars, post 3246, Commander Ken Botti, post colors. Veterans of Foreign Wars, Ladies Auxiliary, Commander Jamie Brantley, post colors. Sons of the Confederate Veterans, 27th Infantry Camp, 1519, post colors. Chivalry Commander 38 of Knights Templar. Post colors. 9/11 flag carried by Eric Setzler. Post colors. And Mountain Home Masonic Lodge, York Rights. Post colors. It gives me great pleasure to introduce the honored guest you see before you on, here on the stage. Ken Bonte, Commander VFW Post 3246. No, maybe not. Ken, where'd Ben go?
He's over there. Straight ahead.
Okay. We also have Dan Hall, Commander of Disabled American Veterans. Ms. Holly Scoma, Arkansas Department of Veterans Affairs, District 3 Service Officer. I'd like to acknowledge the attendance of the following elected officials from our area. State Representative Nelda Speaks. Baxter County Judge Mickey Pendergrass. Sheriff John Montgomery. Way in the back. Police Chief Eddie Griffin, Fire Chief Chris Quick, Joe Dillard, past mayor, and I've seen Representative Stetson Painter as well in the crowd. It is my honor at this time to introduce to you keynote speaker, retired veteran, U.S. Army Lieutenant Commander Mary Walker.
Everyone, thank you for coming. It's a privilege to address you this morning, this Memorial Day. My fellow lady vets volunteered me a few months ago to do this today, and I'm honored that they did. For your information, there are over 200 female vets in this area, and about 15% of our current military forces are women. I had no idea what I was going to talk about today, and I've been mulling it over in my mind, but recently my husband Bob and I saw a Ken Burns documentary on Benjamin Franklin. That brought a flood of memories from childhood into my head. You see, I was born and raised in Pennsylvania. As a young child, I recall my sister Irene, who's still alive, she's 95, taking me to downtown Philadelphia to see the Liberty Bell and all of the other sites from our War of Independence. I remember touching the Liberty Bell. You can't do it today because it's under glass or bulletproof. When I was a kid, you could actually touch the bell. I remember touring Betsy Ross's house, a very tiny house on a very narrow alley in downtown Philadelphia. Betsy Ross, as you know, she sewed our first flag. I went to Independence Hall, where you know, or you might recall, our forefathers wrote the Declaration of Independence. Also, this is where the U.S. Constitution was penned. Some facts about Philadelphia you may not know. It was the largest city in colonial America at the time, and it was even the capital of the United States from 1790 to 1800. The Pennsylvania Assembly was the first state to actually abolish slavery by act in 1780. My public high school, the Philadelphia High School for Girls, was founded in 1848, and they supplied teachers to the public school system. We consider July 4th, 1776, as our nation's birth date, the date of the Declaration of Independence signed by our forefathers. Our war for independence was not an easy one. 8 long years of hardships and sacrifices by all. Our Constitution was finally finalized in 1787, 4 years after the war ended, and it was finally ratified by the last state in 1788. War is hell, and many of you who are here today can tell you that war is hell. There have been many challenges to our freedoms these past 248 years. The War of 1812, the Texas War of Independence, as the Texans would say, remember the Alamo, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Cold War, Grenada, Panama, the upheaval in the Balkans when Yugoslavia collapsed, the global war on terror, and the various conflicts in the Mideast and Africa that are still with us today. The effects and vestiges of some of these conflicts are still felt in our nation today. We have achieved much, but at what cost? The wind is not my friend. Memorials, cemeteries, battlefields exist all over the world, and I have visited many of them through the years, from the Arizona Memorial at Pearl Harbor, to Gettysburg in Pennsylvania, to Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland. These are solemn places honoring the brave men and women who died for freedom and liberty. Our veterans and veterans elsewhere in the world have displayed courage, honor, selflessness, and duty as they fought against tyranny. We see this with the citizens in the Ukraine today. We need to recognize all those sacrifices made by these people through the last 248 years. Freedom is not free. It comes at a cost, a very grave cost. Many of you here today, veterans and family members, have suffered the effects of war. The physical and emotional scars stay with us for a long time, sometimes for the remainder of our lives. However, we must not forget, we must not be complacent. We must recognize that our freedoms are constantly being attacked and challenged. Today's world is no exception. There are forces within and without our great nation trying to take away or reduce our freedoms. Yesterday, I was reading the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and I saw a little article about the Prime Minister of Greece. Greece, by the way, was the birthplace of democracy 500 years before the birth of Christ. In his address to the graduates of Boston College, he stated, "It was their sacred duty to protect democracy in an age when it is coming under increasing stress." He was invited to speak at that commencement because his wife and his son graduated from Boston College. Many people from all walks of life have recognized that freedom and liberty are worth fighting for. Let's ponder what some of these various people have said about freedom and liberty. Woodrow Wilson, who was president and founder of the League of Nations and president during World War I, said, "Liberty never comes from the government. Liberty has always come from the subjects of it. The history of liberty is a history of resistance." And we all know JFK, John F. Kennedy's, his standing up to the Russians during the Cuban Missile Crisis, during the heights of the Cold War. And I remember as a student listening to his speech, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." He said about liberty and freedom, "The cost of freedom is always high, but Americans have always paid it. And one path we shall never choose, and that is the path of surrender or submission. Some of you might know a reggae Jamaican singer by the name of Bob Marley. Bob Marley said, "Better to die fighting for freedom than be a prisoner all the days of your life." And the first black president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, "Let freedom reign. The sun never set on so glorious a human achievement." Now, there's a gentleman from northern Minnesota known as Bob Dylan who said, "A hero is someone who understands the responsibility that comes with his freedom." Franklin Delano Roosevelt's wife, Eleanor, said, "The war for freedom will never really be won because the price of freedom is constant vigilance over ourselves and over our government." And Ronald Reagan, president in the 1980s, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." My favorite quote comes from Benjamin Franklin, of my hometown of Philly. "Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature." And that was echoed by the pastor this morning. The choices we make in the future will determine if America will continue the legacy of greatness given to us by our founding fathers and fought for by American troops since 1775. Or will our nation simply fade into a footnote of history like the other great civilizations of Rome and Greece? Let us ask the question, what should government be? Thomas Jefferson said about government is, "The government you elect is the government you deserve." The issue today is the same as it has been throughout all history, whether man shall be allowed to govern himself or be ruled by a small elite. The second president of the United States, John Adams, "Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest of any one man, family, or class of men. Therefore, the people alone have an incontestable, unalienable, and indefeasible right to institute government and to reform, alter, or totally change the same when their protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness require it. We are a great nation, and I doubt our founding fathers would recognize what we have become. As we look forward to the future, let us hold firmly to the foundation established by them in 248 years ago. We need their courage, their wisdom to guide us. We must be willing to make the sacrifices needed to preserve our nation's freedom. One of my favorite memorials is the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. I was a teenager when I saw it for the first time. It's 100 years old now. When I was stationed in Washington during my two tours of duty there, I always found comfort and solace in this place. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, which he gave at the Civil War battlefield in Pennsylvania, honoring all the dead, is befitting today as it was then. Lincoln said, "Let us resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation shall have a new birth of freedom, and that this government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth." Thank you, and I ask for your prayers and support of the people of the Ukraine. Thank you.
I'd like to thank the Mountain Home High School Band and their director, Mr. Chetney, for their selections today. It's easy to see why they have gained so much deserved recognition lately for their musical abilities. Immediately after our program today, everyone is invited to join us for coffee and cake at the VFW Hall, located two blocks behind me on 7th and Gray Street. Refreshments are provided as well with the North Arkansas Veterans Council and the American Legion Auxiliary hosting as hostess. At this time, I'd like to introduce Mr. Tommy Felicia from the Mountain Home Fire Department.
Hello, everybody. As we gather today to dedicate our 9/11 memorial, let us never forget those Americans that we've lost. I first would like to give a thank you to all past and present military service members here today. I would also like to thank all the firefighters, fire personnel here today. I would also like to thank the police department, EMS members, dispatch, and above all, you, the community, for supporting this memorial. Our 9/11 memorial is a result of many community hands donating and working together for this dedication. It started with the letter of request to the FDNY commissioner for steel from the Twin Towers in New York. My grandfather, Vincent Felicia, and Uncle Joseph Russo were both retired FDNY firefighters that were instrumental in the Mountain Home Fire Department receiving this piece of steel of the towers. The steel was presented at the 20th anniversary, 9/11, to the Mountain Home Fire Department, the Mountain Home Police Department, and the citizens of Baxter County. Never forget is a reminder that on September 11, 2001, the attacks on the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, as well as the plane crash in a field in Pennsylvania, it killed 2,507 civilians, 72 police officers, 343 firefighters, 8 paramedics, and 55 military personnel. They were fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, and veterans. We will also come to be ever mindful of the courage of those who grieve for them and the light that still lives in their hearts. This memorial is the only one in North Central Arkansas. Based on my research, the 6th in the state. The memorial to the left of the stage, which will be revealed here shortly, is a symbolism of areas that the terrorists attempt to destroy. The Twin Towers was our economic power, the Pentagon was our military power, and the U.S. Capitol was our government. The steel from the towers is suspended in the middle of the memorial for allowing for easy touching and viewing. Flight 93 and the Pentagon are engraved below the base, below the steel. Etched on the base is Never Forget. Today would not have been possible if it weren't for the donors, the City of Mount Home, Lyle and Lonnie Uchman for the beautiful stonework. The sketch came to life by Bill and Gene Wyckoff. Where are they at? Bill? It was just a piece of paper that I had, just a vision, and they made it come to reality. I didn't think they could. They spent countless hours constructing this one-of-a-kind memorial. Those that I've been in contact with that have been a part of making today possible, will you please make your way over to the memorial? while they're making their way over, the base that you'll see that it's in sketch, Never Forget, weighs about 2,000 pounds. Each tower is roughly 700 pounds. Thank you all for coming today, and please take a moment before leaving to view this one-of-a-kind memorial. At this time, I'd like to turn it back over to Mr. David Butts.
Thank you, Tommy. Okay, this concludes our program, with the exception of one thing. Mr. Reverend Reynolds is going to say a eulogy. And we're going to have American Legion Honor Guard do a fire, followed by taps by the Mountain Home Band.
Please stand for a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Color guard, please retire the colors. Two. This concludes our service. As we told you before, there are cupcakes and coffee, water at the VFW post over on 7th Street. All are welcome, not just veterans. Thank you very much, sir, lady.
And that will conclude today's service from the Mountain Home Plaza 2000. We want to, take this time to be grateful to all those that made the ultimate sacrifice and those veterans and current active military members that are still with us today. This has been Matt Sharp coming to you from the Mountain Home Plaza 2000. in the downtown Mountain Home.